I want to draw your attention to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Tonight we're going to do something a little different because as I was preparing for tonight, and I've been preparing this week, not only for tonight, but also for Sunday morning, I just really felt impressed to dedicate a good time of tonight's service to prayer for Sunday morning service. There's a lot going on, and I believe God is at work, and He is doing a great work, and yet there is this spiritual battle over souls, and I just feel really impressed that this Sunday, as we gather at 9 a.m. and at 11 a.m. this Sunday, I'm really sensing that God is going to work in the lives of all of us, but there are going to be some that make a commitment to Jesus. And I really want to be praying for our service on Sunday that God would just have a great work, a harvest, even if one person, makes a commitment to Christ, that's priceless. All heavens rejoice. And so we want to pray, and I just felt led by the Spirit of God to spend some time in prayer tonight. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little while. We're going to talk a little bit about prayer before we actually pray together. And I drew your attention to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 12, Peter quoting from the Old Testament. He writes, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers." For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and He opens, His ears, rather, are open to their prayers. What I want to do is I want to look at that as an outline of the verses we're going to be covering primarily as we now turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Fascinating account of what happened in the life of Peter and how the church was praying for Peter, who found himself in a very, very, very difficult situation. We're looking at Acts chapter 12. Some have titled this, "Waking Up to a Miracle." And we're going to see how Peter woke up to a miracle, to a great miracle of God's deliverance. But before we get into the text, let's take a minute and once again, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You so much for Your Word and how awesome Your Word is. And Lord, as we look into Your Word, we look into Your Word for direction, for wisdom, for comfort, for strength, for inspiration. And Lord, we ask that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, all of us are going through different situations, and we need a fresh word from You, God. And Lord, no man is adequate to do what only Your Spirit can do. Our best attempts pale, fall short. And Lord, Your Word tells us that it's not by power nor by might, but by Your Spirit. And Lord, we ask that by Your Spirit You would speak to us, that You would inspire our hearts, that You would encourage us and minister to us, teach us, strengthen us, speak things to us that perhaps aren't audibly heard here. But Your Spirit will be speaking to us as individuals. And so, God, we ask that You would teach us because we, Your servants, are here to hear You with the intent to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, about this time, verse 1, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested Peter, he put Peter in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, to watch over him. Four different groups of four men to watch over this prisoner, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison. But listen to this. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night, Peter was sleeping. Would you be sleeping under those circumstances? You think you can actually fall asleep? Well, Peter could, because Peter knew his time wasn't yet. The Lord had talked to him that later on in his old age, he would be brought to execution, and he knew it wasn't his time yet. Peter had grown by this time to be a great man of faith, and he did not allow his troubles to triumph over him. He was able to sleep. I can't help but think about Jesus when Jesus was in the midst of a storm with his disciples. Remember, he was in that storm, they were in that storm. And what was Jesus doing? Jesus was sleeping. Why? He had no worries. And remember the disciples, they ran to him and they were in a frantic state. Peter was among them. And they said, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" You know, the Lord had said, "Hey, let's get into the boat. Let's go to the other side." Does the Lord care? Of course he cares. But they weren't perishing as so they thought. Well, you could see a big change in Peter since that experience. Now here, Peter's not in a storm, but certainly in a trial. He's been put under lock and chain, in bondage, so to speak. And yet without a care, without a worry. You know, there's a great lesson for us who trust God. When we really have experienced the power of Christ in our life, and he's transformed us, and he's influenced our minds and our thoughts, and he takes residency in our hearts, no matter what we're going through, we can have peace if we seek the Prince of Peace. Remember what Peter said, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. I can imagine Peter in this prison cell, perhaps maybe drained by the experience, but at a point where, well, I might as well get some good sleep because I know God's going to deliver me somehow. I think that's how we should all approach the trials of life. I might as well rest and as I wait upon the Lord to bring that deliverance, because he is our Savior. In a few days, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate as we remember that Christ, our Savior, was born. A Savior who shall save his people from their sins. A deliverer. Jesus hasn't changed. He's still our deliverer. He's still at work. He's still delivering his people. He is so awesome, and there is none like Jesus. Well, Peter was at rest because he knew that he didn't need to worry. And I wonder if he felt that people were praying for him. Have you ever felt people praying for you? Well, we know that the church was praying for him. And so here he was sleeping. And pretty soon we're going to see how he wakes up to a miracle. He didn't really even realize what was taking place. He was in such a stupor, deep, deep sleep. And so Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And the angel, he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." He was in such a sleep. The angel had to whack him. He says, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And he must have just been so just out of it. And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." And so he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Here he woke up to a miracle. And when Peter had come to himself, when he was fully awake and he realized, whoa, this is no dream. This is no vision. God delivered me. He said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. She was so excited. They were praying. They were praying. Oh, God, I can imagine a whole group of people praying together. "Lord, release Peter. Lord, be with Peter. Lord, strengthen Peter. Lord, we just lost one good man. Herod destroyed his life, took his life. Lord, we don't want to see that happen with Peter. Deliver Peter. Lord, deliver Peter. Lord," somebody's outside. "Go see who it is." And Rhoda opens the door, and it's Peter. And she's just so overjoyed, she runs back and she tells them. She leaves them outside. Now here's the saints who are praying for Peter. Here they are, and here's how they respond. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself. You're nuts." Isn't that amazing? Where is their faith? They're praying that God would move on Peter's behalf. God answers the prayers, and then they don't believe it. I don't think any of us could relate to that, huh? How many times do we pray and then God will answer our prayer, Yeah, we're happy, we're blessed, but how many times there's other situations where we're in a troubling situation and we're praying, and God hasn't answered that prayer yet, and then we act like we just don't believe. We struggle with our faith. Or there's times where we were praying, but we were doubting the whole time. And then when God answered the prayer, there was great relief, but then there was a sense of conviction that came because deep down inside, you're struggling, you're doubting, you're one questioning. God, where are you? I'm so glad, though, that God works with real people. And God takes us the way we are. You know, we're a work in progress, aren't we? We're works in progress. He doesn't just, because we disappoint him or we fail or we fall short or we don't consistently display the kind of faith that really blesses his heart, he doesn't just chuck us out. I so appreciate the mercy of God. They did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong. They were just being themselves. They thought, you're crazy. You're crazy. Well, they soon learned that she wasn't crazy at all. God really heard their prayer. And so she kept insisting that it was so. And so they said, it's his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. All right. Fascinating historical account of how God answers prayer, huh? God hasn't changed. And to some degree, as we look at the church in this account, we haven't changed too much either, sadly. But he confirmed to them, hey, the Lord delivered me out of prison. And some have said that, you know, the angel fetched Peter out of prison. But some have said that it was the prayers of the saints that fetched the angel.